Today is Thursday, January the 26th, 2012, and how many debates do we have to have to pick a candidate for president? I'm telling you, this has been like a circus, hasn't it? If they have any more debates, it's pretty obvious what's happening. The reason all these news agencies want these debates is to pit one candidate against the other so they can put their pet candidate back in office, Obama. That's my opinion. Do we have a selection? Okay, well, why don't we start by singing number... let's see. 359. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the Son of Man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, though tear dim dies, where all is joy, and the soul of man never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul of man never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. A love light beams across the foam, where the soul of man never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul of man never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep, where the soul of man never dies. And everlasting joys I'll reap, where the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land, where the soul of man never dies. Where there will be no parting hint, and the soul of man never dies. Dear friend, there'll be no farewell, no tear dim dies. Where all it means is joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. Oh, number 481 has been selected. 481. The souls of those who seek for wealth, the Lord shall soon require. But riches which are short of love shall never there expire. Fear not, little one, fear not, fear not, thy Father knows thy need. Fear not, little one, fear not, fear not, he will his children feed. Behold and see how lilies grow, they do not toil nor weave. Yet kings in all their royal dress are not arrayed like these. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, thy robe is sparkling white. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, the Savior is your light. If God so clothed the forest green, whose leaf will soon be dry, shall he not much more glorify his chosen and foreknown. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, thy God is on his throne. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, he'll come and take you home. Then on him let me cast my care, his guidance and support to share. I'll never sink in dark despair, for he remembers me. The billows round me no more foam, the Lord above has been become. And now at rest in thy sweet home, he still remembers me. The Lord remembers me. The Lord remembers me. I need not fear if he is near, and still remembers me.
Dear Lord, we pray you would be with us this evening. We pray that you would help us in the service. We pray that you would guide our thoughts and our and open your word to us, we pray. We ask in your name. Amen. The Bible says perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. We are living in those times. We're living in the me generation. Me, me, me. You know, there was a time when people, customers were actually treated good by companies that they did business with. It's not that way anymore, folks, especially big companies. I mean, the utility companies, the natural gas companies, propane companies, the phone companies, the light companies, they act like their customers are dirt. You know, I remember when I was coming up, my dad used to tell me, you know, the customer is always right. Not anymore. If the bigger the company, the worse you're treated. Isn't that terrible? We're living in a society where there's such poor ethics. I could give you some examples, which I'm not going to, but I can tell you that our society is getting debauched. And people at the top treat the people at the bottom like dirt. Look how Obama treats people. Just look how he treats people. He doesn't care who he has to run over or walk all over any more than Newt Gingrich cares who he has to walk all over, or Mitt Romney. $22 million he made in 1 year. $22 million, folks. You know, we're living in perilous times. And it's not going to get any better. You know, people say, well, the economy's getting better. No. No. It's not getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. The judgment of God is upon this nation. Today, yes, today, there were several events that happened. One, Richard Roberts, last night, I guess it was the night of midnight of the 24th, was arrested for driving 93 mile an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone, and then when he was pulled over, it was obvious he was drunk. He was drunk. Wonder he didn't kill somebody. And also, Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday, is that right? Tuesday was his father's birthday. What a celebration for his birthday. His son, his oldest, I guess it's his oldest son, I'm not sure. His son gets pulled over for being drunk. What a landmark. Well, also, interesting enough is that Barney, is that his name? I can never get his name. The homosexual congressman.
Barney Frank?
Barney Frank announced today he's getting married to his lifelong lover. I don't know if it's lifelong. I wonder if he's going to ask his marriage partner if they can have an open marriage. Barney Frank is going to marry his homosexual lover. What a day. And we think God is not going to judge this nation. We know that Barack Obama has put his approval on homosexuals in the military. We know that. People don't even fear God and His commandments about this issue of homosexuality. They don't care. Recently I was talking to someone about Dottie Rambo's daughter. And her daughter Reba and her husband are in a ministry that are condoning homosexuals and washing their feet on the stage. I'll tell you what, folks, God is not laughing about this. They want to paint a picture of compassion and love. You know, when God forgave Mary Magdalene, He did not say, go and keep on sinning. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and keep up your lifestyle of debauchery. He didn't say that at all. He said, go and sin no more. That's what He said. People don't want to think about the truth anymore, do they? Well, I want to look tonight at a passage in the 2 Kings. And this is kind of interesting. We know that Solomon turned over to idols in the latter part of his life. He went in amongst the pagans and married, and they drew him away to their gods, and he ended up getting, you know, he ended up getting the kingdom, most of the kingdom stripped from him, didn't he? Remember that? Well, there's a propensity toward people to go be drawn away of their own lust and enticed. And there is, you know, let's first look back at First Kings. I want to look at a little bit of a passage in the 8th chapter of First Kings. Now, you know, Solomon had a good prayer when he was, after he built the temple and everything, he was blessing the temple. And he warned them that, you know, he even prayed that, you know, when they sinned, that God would remember them and would hear their prayers and would forgive their sins and so on. And if you go on the 34th verse, it says, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Well, he goes on and he says, verse 46, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. Notice that. He wasn't preaching and praying a doctrine of perfection. There is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captive on the land for the enemy far or near. Yet, he says, if they shall bethink themselves. And in other words, what he's saying is if they will repent, he goes down and says, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. Verse 49, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their trespasses, wherein they have trespassed. Passed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. Well, that was a good prayer, wasn't it? But what happened to Solomon? What happened to Solomon? Well, we know that Solomon, in his latter life, began to go into these wives. And you know what? If we look at today and we see the people who are supposedly standing up for the right, You know, I don't know. It's it gets to be a little bit of it gets to be a little bit disconcerting when you see that they no longer are standing up for what they know is right, doesn't it? Don't you think? And so there was a punishment for that. There was a punishment for that. Solomon decided to go away and depart from. This was from his own instruction that he had given to the people. This was from his own instruction that he'd given to the people that he departed from. And anyway, let's look back in chapter 11, see what happened. Chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, I can't imagine anyone having 700 wives and 300 concubines. This is a person that's supposed to be the wisest person in the world. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. I can make a statement about that. You know? I've seen other people, when they get older, their wives turn away their hearts from standing up for the truth. His wives turned away his heart after other gods, and the heart was not perfect then. His heart was not perfect with the Lord, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonian, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So here he was worshiping three different gods right there. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build the high places for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all of his strange wives. Let's say for some of his strange wives. If he did it for all of his strange wives, let's just say that out of the 700 wives he had, 500 were strange. He had 500 gods. All of his strange wives which burnt incenses and sacrificed unto other gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Well, you know, what a sad, sad commentary toward the end of Solomon's life. It's not good. What a way to end the life. And we see that is what happened. And we go down to the 31st verse. He's talking to Ahijah, and he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. But notice why he's rending the kingdom from Solomon. He says, because, verse 33, they have forsaken me and worship Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David the father. 35, and I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even in 10 tribes. Well, that is what is going to happen, folks, to everyone who worships idols, those idols above God. That is exactly what's going to happen, because God hates idolatry as much today as he hated it back in the Old Testament. Of course, you don't hear very many people proclaiming that, you know. And now go back to the 2nd chapter of Luke, and we see here a prophecy given by Zacharias, and he says in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant, we're reading in verse 67 through 74, we're down to 74, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered, I'm sorry, this is the 1st chapter of Luke, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And it goes on in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Well, what a wonderful prophecy. But, you know, the problem is that after Christ ministered here 33 years, after he came down to the end of his life, what happened? Well, the disciples wanted to know what was going to happen in the end. They wanted to happen. Now, we've gone many times to the we've looked at the 24th chapter of Matthew, but this time we're going to look at a little different passage. We're going to look in the 21st chapter of Luke. 21st chapter of Luke. And he said, verse 7, they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, and go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines. pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. I was thinking about that. Maybe if we don't have any hairs on our head, we're bald, maybe that now. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Folks, there is going to be war in the Middle East. You can count on it. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. You know, the state of Israel is going to be trodden down, folks, until the time of Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. You know, I read somewhere on Google yesterday that people all over the world are hearing strange sounds from the earth now. Different sounds. There shall be signs in the sun, and the moon, and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Well, then we know that Christ will come after that. Well, I believe that we are living in the days close to those times happening. I believe that because we see the escalation of evil, homosexuality, murder, rape, wars, rumors of wars, the me philosophy, selfishness, greed, lust, and envy, and vice, from the top down, not from the top up, from the top down, from the leaders of the nations, the people running for political office, and all the way down. But we are God's people, and He will sustain us. But we need to be cautioned, just like Solomon cautioned the people back there, not to be drawn away with these idols, these false gods, like Solomon did, worshiping all these different gods and having all these different wives. And they drew him away to these gods, and it caused the downfall of his kingdom. Do we have a selection? I have one. Okay. 277. 477. Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer. Worthy of glory, honor, and power. Worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Worthy of riches, blessings, and
in wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lift up the voice in praise and devotion. Sing some old earth before him should bow. Angels of heaven worship him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Worthy of riches, blessings, and honor. Worthy of wisdom, glory, and power. Worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before thee with singing, filled with thy spirit, wisdom, and power. May we ascribe thee glory and honor. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Worthy of riches, glory, and honor. Worthy of wisdom, glory, and power. Worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou.
Psalm 72a. Psalm 72a. I had another one too.
Oh God, thy judgments give the king his reigning son, thy righteousness. He to thy people right shall bring, with justice shall thy poor redress. The heights shall bring prosperity, the hills bring peace by righteousness. He'll judge the poor, the wrong set free, and crush them in who them oppress. Till sun and moon no more are known, they shall be clear in ages old. He'll come as rain on meadows mown, and showers upon the earth that fall. The just shall flourish in his day, while as the moon shall peace extend. From sea to sea shall be his sway, and from the river to earth's end.
253. Dear Lord, we pray that you would go with us this evening and this week. We pray that you would keep us from idolatry, worshiping other gods, and realize that you are the one that's worthy of all praise and glory and honor.
Heal me by thy mighty power, Lord, I pray from day to day. I am weak and pain devours all my strength along the way. Hold me by thy mighty arm when the way is dark and drear. Always keep me safe from harm, thinking of that thou art near. Save me from the tempter's power, help me all my burdens bear. Keep me in thy loving charm, safe from evil everywhere. Make me thankful for thy grace, keep me humble in thy sight. Guide me by the Holy Spirit, lead me safely by thy might. Clothe me with thy righteousness, let my sorrows and cares molest. Help me, Lord, to do my best, give my soul its long for rest. Show me, Lord, thy smiling face when my life on earth is o'er. All the pains and tears erase, by thy presence bless me, Lord.